Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. And thank you for joining us wherever and whatever you might be going on in your world today. Before I get started with today's show and introduce you to our guest, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States and also has a variety of temporary and remote workers available for you during these times. So please do keep them in mind for all of your potential recruitment needs. Today, I'm excited to have with us on the show Elaine Zitner. Elaine is an ICF certified leadership and life coach who is passionate about individual and organizational change and transformation. She spent 15 years working in financial services, education, and healthcare. She started her career in IT, looking at process improvements, efficiency, and waste reduction. She quickly realized no tool, technology, or process or redesign would improve an organization without the people being at the center. This led her on a learning journey into the people side of organizations. She received a Master's of Science in Organization Development through Pepperdine University and became a certified in Lean Black Belt, ProSci Change Management, Hudson Institute, and ICF Coaching and Yoga. Having read the books, learned the tools, and mastered the frameworks, Elaine knows firsthand that leadership in an organization, community, or family is an inside-out job. Elaine works with leaders who are ready to go deep and broad in service of reaching their goals and of having the impact they dream. Thanks so much for joining us today, Elaine.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here. Nice to chat with you, Jen.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure. It's so funny. A little history for our listeners. Elaine and I met actually at a retreat in January. I can't believe it was back when life still felt somewhat normal. Remember the good old days when we were having iced tea out in some trees and there were 20 of us together?
And lots of flights at that point. Certainly none now.
Yeah, it was an interesting time. But tell me, Elaine, you know, tell our listeners a little bit about your journey. You know, you started off in IT, you've gone on kind of this self-exploration, coaching, leadership journey. Tell our listeners a little bit about that journey.
I'm going to take a half a step back even before the time of becoming an adult with career titles and credentials. And when I think about my journey and where I am today, what comes to mind is one of the first memories I have as a kid, which is at a summer camp. I was sitting on the floor with a camper who didn't believe she deserved a bed. And so I sat with her for hours and hours and hours. It was natural to me. I almost think I came into this world as a coach and as a helper. I also, at that point in time, realized if you're nice to people and helpful, you get medals and trophies. So that started a whole other train. But I think ultimately for me, I was, as I said, I came into this world with a focus on people. I studied change and transformation. I have a very analytical side of my brain, linear, logical, which made a lot of sense and helped me be successful in IT and business analyst and project manager roles. But ultimately, in all of that work, I always found myself focusing on the people side. And it's the place where my heart sings. And I think sometimes we call it the soft side. I've heard that oftentimes, the soft side, the people side. But I actually think it's the really tough, the really hard side. It's easy to sit at your desk and document a process. It's easy to think about implementing a new technology for the service, in service of some greater good. And it's really hard to actually implement those and to do those well to the point where people are using them, they're proficient, and things are working well. So I think the easy stuff is actually the tough stuff, which is the people side. And that's what I am really passionate about.
Yeah, I love that. I could tell that right away when you and I sat down and we were just enjoying a chat. I think it was one of the first days that we both arrived there. You mm-hmm. had this interesting air about you. It was kind of an inquisitive nature and yet very present. Like on the, you had the one side to the left side of your brain that was clearly processing and absorbing everything. But then the other part of you was just there 100% present, not only with me, but with everybody who was with us at the retreat. And that's why I was really taken by you and what you do. And I said, you know, I really want to have you on the show and talk to you more and pick your brain in front of an audience. Do you mind?
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And it's nice to hear, because for a long time, those parts of me felt somewhat disconnected. Like it didn't make sense to me to have this linear, logical, I can put things into, you know, a 2x2 matrix and take lots of information and put it together, and yet still have this people-focused, centric side. And so it's I appreciate hearing you say that you saw that in me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about that, because I know our topic today is about being the leader in your life. And I know for a lot of us, we're having to be leaders in our households, given the current situation that's happening. There's a lot of people in their companies with, unfortunately, the tens of millions of people, if not more, that have been laid off globally, who are finding themselves in leadership roles rather unexpectedly. So let's mm-hmm. talk for a minute about leadership. How, if you're somebody who might have always been, like you said, the left brain person who is really good at planning or looking at the analytics, how do you begin to get into the heart of who a human being is, and let alone lead or manage them?
Mm-hmm. That's a really great question. So there's three things that come to mind as the simplest. They're not easy. They're simple. As three simple tools. One of them is awareness, acceptance, and curiosity. So what I mean by that is awareness as to what is going on with you. When I think about leadership, for me, it's really an inside-out job. You can do all of the degrees, all of the certificates. You can practice different tools and methodologies. You can learn how to, you can take Toastmasters and learn how to command a room. And if you're not aware of the things inside of you that are secretly or hiddenly driving you, your ability to really step into a leadership role as an individual in your house or in your organization is, there'll be a plateau. So there's awareness, there's acceptance. I think, and I'm going to use the word we, but I probably mean I. We oftentimes focus on wanting to fix, solve, change things. And I say that from a place of personal experience as well as organizational experience. We focus on what are the problems? How do we need to fix this? What's the latest new technology? Where do we need to send our people for training? We're always thinking about how do we fix, solve, change. And I think there's some real beauty in actually just accepting what is. You don't need to necessarily fix, solve, change everything all the time. If you can take a moment to accept where you are and get really, really curious about what's happening for you, what's happening for your organization, what's happening for the people around you, then you start to open up and become in true partnership. And from that place, you can make tactical decisions from being in alignment as opposed to being more reactionary and problem focused.
Got it. Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And I think those are really important attributes. I think that leadership is so often overlooked and misunderstood. We don't understand that no organization could achieve what it achieves without leadership and without those elements that you were just highlighting for people. I think that it's really not something that is easily quantifiable. And I think you just did a really great job of mm-hmm. kind of assigning attributes that could encompass what a leader is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I think there's a real shift out there in understanding leadership as not being a position or a title, not being an attribution of how many people report to you or how big your budget is. That leadership exists at an individual level and within any system, in your community, at your yoga studio, and of course, within your organization.
Well, let's talk about it on a personal level. Let's say a little bit more about that, if you don't mind, about like, for example, there are a lot of people who are finding themselves at home, you know, with perhaps one or more family members, friends, roommates, whoever might be in that situation. How could you embody leadership when you're quarantined?
That is a great question. And I will go back to the awareness, acceptance, and curiosity. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately as it pertains to what I hear in my community. As people are under stress, they're spending more time with each other, they're learning new ways of living, of working, of being. And at the best of times, when you are most resilient, that's a tough thing to do. Add fear of job loss, add fear of income, add safety, add triggers from the past, from wherever you come from, whatever is your personal experience, and the stress just gets heightened. So if you can become aware of your reactions, your thoughts, your feelings, your wants, your observations, so really, really, truly, almost holding a mirror up to yourself as the starting point, if you can get clear on what's happening for and with you, and then share that with the people around you, you have the opportunity to step into and to lead in a very different way than if you are leading from a place of reaction. And so I want to give two concrete examples, which I think people can relate to. You always and you never. And you can say you always, you never, or I always, or I never. Those definitive statements, and those are just two, there's many of them out there. You can feel in your body how there is a contraction. And when you're in your house, however big, however small it is, and you hear yourself, you notice, you become aware of those definitive, those contracting statements, those contracting thoughts and feelings, the finger pointing, the blaming. If you can be aware of those as a starting point, give yourself like half a breath, literally, it can be all it takes, to check in with what's really happening for you, then you have a chance to shift that dynamic instead of going into automatic habit. So if somebody says, you always, and then the other person jumps in and says, no, that's not true, you never, and you can see the pattern that starts to emerge. That make sense?
It is. And I want to go back for a moment to one of the very first things that you just said with regards to this is about awareness. And you said for you as the person to notice what you're going through and then to communicate that. Can you give an actual example? Because I know from a very cerebral level, I can wrap my head around that. But for some of our listeners tuning in out there, they might say, okay, I sort of get what she's talking about there, but I think something concrete might be valuable to share with people in this instance.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this one will be from a work context. So I was working with an entrepreneur recently who was feeling extremely frustrated, and the words they used was disrespected, frustrated, and even angry. They thought that they had clearly communicated some deliverables and some timelines, and what was given back to them didn't meet their expectations. So this person was really, really, really fired up. And so we took some time to explore, and this is, I talk about it outside in, inside out. There's something happening outside, out there. You want your team to do something different. You want your partner to do something different. You want a promotion. You want more money. There's something out there that you're wanting. Being aware of that outside thing is a starting point for you to then go inside to understand what is your want beneath that. So I'll go back to the example. This person was frustrated with what had come back to her. And as we went inside to explore, the thought was, they're disrespecting me, they don't care what I want, and we're never going to get this done. From there, if you can take a moment to connect to your body, and this is where it can get super tricky, especially for very cerebral people who are used to thinking as opposed to feeling. If you can connect into the feeling in your body, literally, where do you feel sensation? And I remember the first time somebody asked me to do that, and I wondered why. I thought they were crazy, basically. It was so far from my experience at the time. So if you can go from outside to what are your thoughts, to what are your feelings inside, and then connect to what that feeling is trying to tell you, what is the deep down want, which is usually something around connection, security, approval, or control, then you can start to work from the inside out again and to reshift that. So in the case of this woman, what we came to learn was when she was a kid, her sibling used to tell her parents she had done things which she hadn't. She was sent to her room, and the same feeling came up for her. She was furious. She felt so disrespected, almost having the temper tantrums. You can see it as a little kid.
Totally.
So when her team now, as a much older woman, when things are happening that aren't within her control, she gets triggered because of that which happened many, many moons ago. And so what's happening in her reaction to they are disrespecting me, we're never going to get this done, is not necessarily about, it's not necessarily about the thing that's happening today.
Yeah, of course. It's like something that's being triggered from when you're a little kid. I often tell people that when you're mm-hmm. dealing with somebody who's in the midst of an upset, if you can literally visualize the person who is upset as a little child, like you said, she's throwing a tantrum, or if somebody's yelling or angry, it's not an adult self, clearly. It's not your adult self mm-hmm. who's having that conversation. An adult self would say, oh, what am I feeling? I'm feeling angry. Why am I feeling angry? How could I have better exactly. communicated this? As opposed to our three-year-old self, which says, fine, I'm going to just go to my room.
Yeah, I'm going to hide under the bed, and I'm going to have a temper tantrum, and so be it.
Exactly. But most of us never grow out of that.
No, and most of us don't have the wherewithal to necessarily know that the reaction that they're having as a 40, 50, 60, 20-year-old human as it relates to something in front of them in this moment may actually not be about the thing that's in front of them in this moment. And so why I think this is relevant to your question about, okay, how can people be leaders in their homes at this time? I think the number one thing is awareness of what you're reacting to, because reactions and stress is even higher now. Acceptance of what that is. You don't need to fix, solve, change it in the moment. And then to get really curious with yourself and with those around you. And from that place, you can start to open up the space for more understanding, more dialogue.
I think that's beautiful. And can I throw a little cherry on top that I think people
Please.
Might have fun with if they have some time? So are you familiar with inner child work? Have you ever tried that alone?
Oh, yes. I love it. And by that, I just want to caveat and say I did not love it when I was first introduced to it.
Right? Oh, my God. So tell me your story. How did you become introduced to inner child work?
The cold notes version is I had a car accident and a heartbreak in a 1 week period of time a couple years ago.
Oof.
And I had feelings for me was something that I experienced in the bath by myself or maybe on a walk. And so I was feeling very anxious and eventually went to the doctor and was like, okay, people feel anxiety all the time. Can I have pills? That seems to be a thing that can happen. And maybe I can just get over this little hurdle and get back into my normal life. And she, for whatever reason, suggested therapy. At the time, the therapist that she had recommended to me weren't available. And so I ended up seeing this somatic woman who, for those of you who aren't aware, somatics is soma. It's what is held within your body. And so the first time with this woman, traveling into the interior of my physical being and her asking me questions about, okay, what is this memory bringing up for you? Where were you when you first felt this feeling? And so many things came up. Images of, being a little girl and somebody telling me I should wear pants instead of a dress. And feeling the feelings of what it was like to be that little kid. What was it for you?
For me, inner child work, it was so funny. I would have thought somebody was crazy if they had told me this. You know, here I was, a businesswoman. And one of my friends who I really respected and admired, Wendy, is an executive director at a major law firm. And she had been studying with this one person. I'm drawing a blank on her name at the moment. And she said, Jen, have you ever heard of inner child work? I was like, okay, what's that? And she said, you know, you kind of put your right hand on your heart and you go within and you talk to your inner child and you find a loving and kind, nurturing way to talk to your person. You know, in my case, she said, oh, you could call her sweetheart or darling or my love. Or for a guy, you could say buddy or dude, you know, whatever feels right to you. And then you start to talk to your inner child and you visualize them at a young age, or you can look at a picture of yourself when you're little. And she had shared with me that actually in her case, her inner child didn't even want to come out, out to play because she had been so ignored. And for a lot of us, that's kind of how it is. Like my inner child will literally throw tantrums sometimes. She'll just be like, no, I'm mad at you. But the cool thing is when you start to do that work with yourself, again, it's as simple as putting your right hand on your heart, breathing in and out of your heart, and just kind of shutting your eyes and getting quietly in connection with yourself, that you can then prevent those volcano eruptions of anger, frustration, whether it's at the workplace or whether it's, you know, with the people that you're quarantining with, by taking care of your own needs rather than getting mad at everybody around you for not meeting the expectations they didn't know they had or that you had.
Yes. And I love how simple you just made it. Hand on your heart, get quiet, a couple deep breaths. Yeah, beautiful. Doesn't have to be complicated.
Yeah, it's very easy. And I think it's so important because the more we can all see, once we realize we have an inner child within us and that he or she can be in pain and can be hurting, and that there's no capacity for us to lead in an organization or otherwise from that place of a hurt inner child, then we can begin to develop compassion for ourselves and develop compassion for other people's inner children. So when you see that person who is maybe being passive aggressive or is a yeller or is trying to get attention in perhaps a non-socially acceptable way, you can go, oh, I have that same part of myself. Because every time we see it in somebody else, it's a part of ourselves being reflected back to us.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Elaine, do tell our listeners a little bit about, you know, what are some things that they could do? So we're talking about awareness and curiosity and all of these traits. And like we just talked about, doing that inner work, going within, you know, what are some ways, because I really want to take this to the next level. You know, the show is called Get Yourself the Job, but it's much more centered around find your purpose. You know, what is your purpose and how can we all live our purpose? And part of that is, you know, in all of our lives, we're going to have an opportunity to be a leader. And I think with a lot of people who might be at home right now with young adults living in the house, how could you foster and support this sort of leadership behavior and mirror it and mimic it for the people who might be looking up to and watching very closely what you're doing? Is there any advice that you have for people who might be in that situation?
So, so the question is, what advice to foster and to model leadership behavior for those in your house. Because as we know, what is modeled to you in your house or in your organization is what every individual picks up as, this is the acceptable, socially normal way of living life. And they go off into their life and repeat the patterns that they've seen.
Exactly.
Yes. It really, I guess, practically speaking, I would say a simple way to start the awareness and the noticing piece is whether you have a piece of paper or your phone, however you want to start tracking, when you feel, we call it above the line or below the line in some language, open or closed, triggered or happy, start to track the thing. When you start to feel in your body, oh, I'm really excited, or, oh, I am about to fly off the handle. The number one, the first step is noticing and tracking. If that's the only thing anybody takes out of this call, I think that would be great leaps forward. There is lots of knowledge when you track what's happening for you in a week, in a day, to start to see your own patterns. And once you can see the patterns that emerge, then you can start to make choices as to how you want to respond in them. So if in your tracker you start to see every time Susie shows up to the dinner table late, I feel a pinch. I don't know anybody named Susie, just to caveat that.
Or the board meeting too, or the Zoom room. You know, this is not just
Zoom
about
room.
It's so funny.
Oh yeah.
How we do one thing is how we do anything. So if somebody's irritating you by showing up late to the dinner table, it's probably irritating you in the Zoom rooms, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes. And so on the irritation side, specifically irritated, frustrated, angry, I think there's a lot of anger that is starting to come up for people. Those are really clues, keys to, hey, there's something, as you said, there's something in this particular behavior that's showing up that you can use as a vehicle for your own learning, your own growth, your own leadership, and your own development. On the plus side, if we go back to what you were saying, that this show is also about living and finding your life's purpose, when you start to track the things that really light you up, the things that get you excited, the things that you're like, I can't wait to talk about this agenda item, or I can't wait to go roller skating with Susie now that dinner's over. There is so much for you to learn about yourself, what is important to you, and what are some potentially unhealed wounds that are keeping you from stepping into a greater leadership role to have bigger impact and to model a way of living and working that is something that you can be proud of and that you would want your kids to model going forward.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Lynn. I think it's, you know, what purpose is there? I was talking to somebody earlier, and it's interesting during this time that we're all experiencing and the ways that we're experiencing it. The person I was speaking with had been laid off and, you know, has a couple kids and said, Jen, I just need a job. Because I was like, oh, there's this, you know, company and, you know, they could help you fulfill your life's purpose. Mm-hmm. And it really, he said, that's not available to me right now. All I need is a paycheck to put food on the table tonight and then the next night and then the next night. And I'm really present and aware to people, maybe even who are tuning in right now, who we can't even begin to fathom a purpose or something that would bring us joy and satisfaction because we're so caught up in the survival moment. Right now, I just need to survive to the next day or the next moment or the next hour. And yet the more work we do on ourselves, the more of doing exactly what you just suggested, of bringing that awareness, whether it's doing the exercises that you talked about by beginning to track those triggers, that's when we get our power and where we can find purpose and joy in anything because our awareness is on it, as opposed to suffering through, you know, I remember I had a friend of mine who did a different retreat And she said, Jen, you know, we actually learned that while you're cleaning a toilet could be a meditation practice if you're willing to see it as that. And the same can be said of any of our jobs. We can find purpose and meaning in anything if we're willing to shift our awareness and our perspective around that thing.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, awareness. I often think about awareness, perspective, possibility, and action. I do just want to circle back to what you were saying, your friend who's just like, yeah, my life's purpose, I might be able to figure that out later. Right now I need to pay my bills, get food on the table, and ideally keep surviving.
Yeah.
For people out there in that position, it's really to, I think the number one thing is to find a way in your body to feel safe, literally in the present moment, in the teeniest, tiniest possibility. So when all of that stress, when all of that anxiety, when all of those stories, when all of that fear, which is true and real and relevant for those people, is starting to kick up. I see a windstorm at times. I would just suggest almost the same mechanism as you suggested for the inner child, hand on your heart, and deep breaths. And if you have an affirmation or if there is a mantra that feels good to you, I'm okay, things are all right, whatever it might be to help calm you and de-escalate the stress in the moment, then from the place of being a little more centered, you can take action from that place as opposed to the place that's driven by fear and scarcity and holy blankety blank, what's going to happen? may be the action steps may be the same, but you're coming at it with a different energy. And by you shifting your energy in your house, in your Zoom meeting, it has, there's an impact on everybody else around you. So as simple as it is, and to take part of your inner child, hand on your chest, deep breath, get your body back to a place of feeling safe in the moment. And then from that place, figure out your next next small step action to.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I think another thing too, is just to get in communication. I think we all are so isolated, even though some of us may be quarantining together, that we think we're the only ones having this experience, whether it's not having money to put food on the table or not having, you know, a job at all or having resources. There is at least one other person in the world who's going through some variation of what you're going through. And I think it's so important to realize we're not alone, and just to reach out to one another and to support one another in the midst of all of this, even by just checking in on your friends, you know, especially the people you know who might be quarantined by themselves or those who might have 4 or 5 kids at home. I know I have several friends in that scenario, and that can be equally stressful in a different sort of way, is just checking in with people once a week and saying, how are you doing? I think is how we're all going to support one another and move through this stronger and healthier rather than broken and hurt.
Yeah, I love that. Very well said.
Yeah, well, Lane, tell us, were there any other questions or anything that I didn't get a chance to ask you today that you'd love people to walk away from today's show with?
I'm going to keep it really simple because I personally am starting to feel a little overwhelmed with all of the 5 steps to running a Zoom meeting and 6 steps to pivot, not pause. So I just want to keep it really simple and say awareness of what's going on with you as you are lit up or as you are triggered, stressed. Accept. You don't need to fix, solve, change it. Breathe into it. Get yourself back into a place of feeling safe and then get really curious. Instead of finger pointing and blaming, get really curious about what's happening for you, what's happening for the other people in your life, and really, Jen, to echo what you said, check in with those you love. You are not alone. There's lots of people going through lots of very diverse experience. And if you are looking for support, there's lots of help out there.
Beautiful, Elaine. Thank you so much. And I love how it's just simple. I know sometimes it can be very tempting as a coach or a trainer to offer 100 tools, when really 2 or 3 tools might be exactly what we have the capacity for and what we can take away from an experience.
Yes, I love tools. I love tools. I love certificates. I love frameworks. I love books. I love ideas. And yeah, there's a capacity, and there's what's in the here and now. And I think what's in the here and now is breathing, accepting, curiosity, and love.
So true. I just want to kind of breathe in that love you put out there, because I think we can all use a little bit more love in our hearts right now. Love for ourselves and love for one another and love for our colleagues and the people who are late on the Zoom room meetings, you know, just understand that everybody's doing the best that they can. And a leader, you know, it's not a leader's job to judge. It's a leader's job to support and create a space for people to grow safely and to feel like it's okay to make mistakes. Now, if you do it regularly, there's going to be a conversation and that's an opportunity, but it doesn't have to be done from a place of judgment. It can be done from a place of love.
Love, learning, growth, and forward movement towards whatever the common shared goal is.
Beautiful, Lynn. Well, tell people if they want to find out about the coaching practice that you have, if they want to find out about what it is you're offering to the world, where would they find information about you?
I've got my website, which is elainezitner.com, ElaineZitner.com. I'm also on LinkedIn and Instagram with those names. All three of those platforms are pretty simple. So I would say if anybody out there is interested in learning more, learning about coaching, if it's something that could support you and where you are right now, feel free to reach out to me and we can have a chat.
Beautiful. And well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to have you on. And I think being the leader of our own lives is something that we can all take out into the world with us, whether it's to our next Zoom meeting or to our dinner with whoever it is that might be joining us around the table. You know, I think it's something important that we can all nurture in ourselves and nurture in one another. And thank you so much to everybody who tuned in today as well, either whether you're tuning in today or in the future. You know, we appreciate it. And if you ever need support, you know, I'm going to do this. I don't normally do this on the show, but I really just want to make sure that whoever and wherever you are out there in the world, that you have what you need. You can even email me at my personal email, Jennifer@metabizics.com. And, you know, would welcome any feedback, or if you have a question or anything that I can be a resource or support you on. I feel very grateful to have a lot of resources. And actually, along the lines of what Elaine and I were speaking about today, I've been writing a new book during this COVID time called 101 Spiritual Tools for Uncertain Times. And the first book will be out probably in the next month or so. And one of the tools is inner child work. So I feel so lucky to have all of the teachers and tools and resources that I've been gifted and shared with over the years. And I'm certainly happy to share those with you or with a loved one. If you have somebody in your life who might need something like that, please don't hesitate to ask, and happy to pay it forward in any way that I can. And speaking of really cool things that are happening in the world, there's another show that I host on awaketvnetwork.live, and that's on Thursdays at 7 a.m. And on that same network, we also have a special series happening right now on Saturdays at 11 a.m. And that series is put on by the HeartMath Institute, which is called Navigating with the Heart, Conversations for These Trying Times. And it's free to tune in on Saturdays at 11. And we're actually doing a special episode with the difference that gratitude makes for frontline responders. And so this weekend's episode is going to be some chief of staff nurses, a doctor, some people from the HeartMath Institute. And we're going to be talking about what the difference is that your gratitude makes for people, and what are some tools for anybody out there who's a caregiver, whether you're a frontline worker or caregiving for a loved one right now at home or dealing with somebody maybe who has COVID. you know, there are some wonderful tools that are going to be made available and free there on that episode to, just like Elaine and I were talking about today, help you to connect to your heart and to support yourself, because none of us will be any good to anybody else until we first nurture and care for ourselves. So I invite you to check that out again on awaketvnetwork.live on Saturdays at 11, or join me this Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Normal Metaphysics Show. And if you missed any portion of today's episode here on LA Talk Radio, you can find it at the archive section at the bottom of the Get Yourself the Job page. And you'll find the archive of today's show, as well as all of our other shows over the past 4 years. We just had our 4-year anniversary of the show. So thank you to all of you who have made this possible year in and year out. And you can also find it on iTunes later in the week on Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. So feel free to leave us any feedback, any, you know, ratings. All of that helps us to get you better content going forward. So thank you so much to everybody who tuned in. Thank you again, Elaine, for joining us today. And thank you to Sam and Ronan and everybody at LA Talk Radio who make today's show possible.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.